Well, hello, everybody. This is episode 6, March 26, 2024. I am a co-host, Dr. Paul Murata.
And I'm the other co-host, Brendan Colafranceschi.
We're going to hit you with a few little segments of some pearls around the world of finances, some health-related activity, sports issues, and some random topics as we've been doing over the next 10 to 15 minutes. The month is rolling on. We're finishing March, which brings upon April. April, in my mind, B. Cola, it's tax season. So tax season is almost upon us. This is well into your field and your area of interest and expertise. Tell us a little bit about what to expect.
Yeah, so tax deadline's coming up April 30th. So you have to file and pay your taxes by the deadline to avoid any penalties and interest.
And there's no penalty for handing this in early, I suppose.
No, so if you're ready, you should file.
Now, that's good comment about ready and bringing your information to whom. Should we do this ourselves? There's some software now that's very cheap that you could work on your computer and get a tax return done relatively promptly. There's the H&R Blocks of the world, or there's the more perhaps more complicated need for an accountant, and each of these things have a fee. What's your take on, you know, where should people get their taxes done?
So what I mean by ready is if you have all the necessary documentation, like a T4 slip from an employer, or if you have investment income, T3s or T5s, which are all slips that you would get from your investment dealer indicating investment income you've earned, you should get those and file. To answer your question about who you should use, it really depends on how complicated your situation is. So if you have a pretty straightforward T4 income, no investment income, then it's simple. You can do it on your own. It's simply plugging in numbers into a box. And, you know, there's tons of help online. There's programs that you can buy, like a TurboTax, that'll guide you through the process of putting in the information. If your situation is a little more complicated, you know, where you have investment income, maybe you're self-employed, you want to take advantage of some of those credits, tax deductions of that nature, where probably an accountant type person or H&R Block would be more beneficial to help you maximize some of those credits and deductions.
As I've been thinking about this, you know, one of the things that I suppose is an interest is we're all, meaning all Ontarians, Canadians, and even North Americans, tax filing season is this end of April. Why? Why does the whole population have to submit at that deadline? To me, it would make sense to spread things out. Maybe if you're born in September, then your tax return should be done by the end of September of that particular year. Instead of getting 14 million Ontarians all in by April 30th, it's a million a month.
A good point. I don't know that there is an actual reason for why it is April 30th.
It's got to be something about the inefficiencies involved in government agencies.
It could be. I'll leave that one alone. But yeah, April 30th was just sort of chosen as the arbitrary date to get it in.
All right.
One key note to know is if you are getting a refund and you don't actually owe money, April 30th means nothing to the person who's getting a refund. They could file that on October 31st of this year, not see any penalties. It's just going to take them a while to get there.
They'll get their money. They won't get any credit or interest on top of the money owed, but the opposite is definitely true too. If you do not pay with a balance owing, you get your hand slapped significantly.
Correct. You're going to end up owing an extra good chunk for no reason. So why give it to CRA? Keep it in your pocket.
There you go. Well, I may have to end this podcast early, start working on my taxes, get them in early.
So, and I noticed something in sort of the health-related field, Dr. P, and you've been away recently, I've been away recently, and I've noticed a trend that has sort of bothered you, and you wanted to talk about, and if you want to elaborate on that.
I'll happy to do so. I talked about this offline because it irked me. Maybe it doesn't sound like an unhealthy habit, but it seems, as I think more and more about it, it's unhealthy to the individual, but mostly to the people nearby. I was traveling, and I was at a baseball game, and I witnessed something that I didn't think I'd witness. It's a warm environment. People have their shorts and sandals on, and the crowd is not full capacity, so there are seats available in front and behind and sideways. And one individual who did not have the best foot hygiene did however, feel the need to show everybody his poor foot hygiene. Took his sandals off, put his feet on the chair in front of him, and just wiggled his toes and got all the dust and debris off them onto the next seat. And it was like that for about three innings of the baseball game, to the point where, I mean, I almost had to remove myself. I was several rows behind, but I just thought about it. This, you know, we come off of COVID and 6 feet distance, please, and masks and gloves and all that. And here we are sticking our feet where people will be sitting, where their kids will have their ice cream and their bodies touching those areas. Feet are not a clean part of your body necessarily, especially if you've been walking in sandals. Toe fungus is one of the things that you've seen commercials about. I just think it's not only unhealthy, but it's
probably poor etiquette.
It's a very poor health etiquette. We see this on airplanes too. People have no problems taking their shoes and socks off. And I think when the person beside you is only 6 inches beside you on an airplane, I think people should think twice about this. It's not passing infection for sure, but it just seems like we should be above that type of behavior.
I've noticed over time, as things have gone away from the whole COVID period, you still notice people in masks to this date. Now, the number has shrunk from when we were all in masks. Are those people still avoiding some of these bad habits by not subjecting themselves to people with feet up on a seat?
COVID, no COVID, you know, mask, if you worn correctly and the right type, does prevent aerosolized infections. COVID being what we're all been educated upon. The more comical thing is people are wearing masks, but they're not really wearing the mask properly, and there's gaps, and it's not the right type, and it won't filter out various viruses and infections. But some people definitely do this for either themselves, or they think they're preventing, you know, elderly or immunocompromised people. So we'll see this for a long time. We'll see mask wear. Whether it's preventing something, I guess time will tell. I guess my bottom line is true infections that can be mitigated against by things like masks, gloves, gowns. Potential infections, those that are on your toenails and your feet, please keep that to yourself and prevent what I would consider relatively barbaric behavior.
Well, I guess we're getting more comfortable as a society. Again, we're starting to let loose and, you know, put our feet up, so to speak.
Well, for our listeners from a few episodes ago, you know, we spoke about the baseball player Ohtani, and we were talking about his monument, his contract. I think a lot of people were betting that LA might win, not only us, but his interpreter.
Yeah, we talked about gambling too, right? And so we have Ohtani, new large contract, and now we've got the gambling and large contract and Ohtani all rolled into one.
It's like they were listening to us.
Right, for our picking.
So what do we think about this? The interpreter, millions of dollars in debt, Ohtani claiming he had no knowledge, but helped him pay off his debt, and then interpreter fired.
Yeah, I think sports overall has some of these underlying issues. It's my opinion that sports have a fixed component to some of the outcomes, especially with how gambling has risen in popularity.
It's definitely a lot easier to gamble, but the professional players have some regulations against what they can and cannot do from a gambling perspective. Certain states don't allow gambling on certain sports. And I think this whole story may not be over. It's really unknown who the gambler was or whether they were both interested in gambling as a pastime. How this will play out in terms of, obviously the interpreter has taken the fall for this because he's not worth $790 million.
Yeah, I think he's definitely fallen on the sword, so to speak. You know, Ohtani, everyone knows he doesn't speak English, right? So, but he probably speaks money. So money is kind of the universal language. And if you have large sums like that going, didn't Ohtani pay one of the books, sports books, $4.5 million, and said it was for him?
He paid it off for him. The argument there was that the interpreter actually volunteered that he shouldn't give me the money because I may not pay off my debt. Now, I think these individuals have been coached literally and figuratively in the, not only in the baseball world, but in the gambling world, but what to say to media. And that's the story we're hearing.
Seems very fishy and convenient.
Exactly. We'll see. There's probably more to come over the next months and or years.
We'll keep you posted.
You know what else I've noticed now that maybe we're entering a springtime? Well, I guess formally we are springtime.
Yeah, what's that? What have you noticed?
Well, I was out for a run the other day, and there's a lot more dogs out for walks.
Nice weather. Why wouldn't you get your pet out?
I think
get
you some should. Exercise? What I noticed is a lot of these dogs, maybe I just noticed them because now I was outside, and then through the wintertime I'm not out in that area, but lots of dogs come in and they take their little pee breaks and walks with their owners, but they're all coming from apartment building.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people in apartment buildings have pets.
And apartment buildings are dog friendly, pet friendly, which is fine, but I suppose what I find different or difficult to see is big dogs. I think large dogs, you know, the 70 pounds and above.
Yeah, so you're talking like a lab or a German Shepherd.
Yeah, beautiful dogs, and then they got to go back into the apartment.
Okay, large pet, small space. That's what you're getting at.
Exactly. And okay. I think small pets belong in small spaces, and I think large pets perhaps belong in large spaces, larger spaces. I think it's a detriment to the animal to be cooped up and claustrophobic almost in a small apartment for a big dog. Does the dog want to live in the apartment?
Well, the dog might not have any choice.
The dog has no choice. So I think it's a relatively selfish thing as an owner to bring a large pet into a small space.
Yeah, I guess it depends how long was the walk, right? Did he run? You know, did he get enough exercise outside where he's tired for the day? Will he go again? Right?
How
the
many
owner
times?
Gets home, right?
Well, it's a good point. Owners now also have pet walkers, dog walkers, right? Paid people that'll go for grab your pet once, twice, three times a day, for a walk, which I think is helpful. It's too bad we don't have human walkers. There's a lot of people. It would be a nice service to have for people.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I agree. I'm of the opinion that if there's a small space, like it should be a formula. Right? Like, what's your square footage? And if that square footage is, say, you know, 500 to 700 square feet, your dog can only be 20 pounds.
Right. We actually have, you know, for fish, for example, you buy in an aquarium, you go to the pet store, they'll tell you.
Good point.
Yeah. They'll tell you how big an aquarium needs for a certain aquatic animal, whether it be a small turtle, whether it be various types of fish. So you're right. We should do what's the difference?
So we should have some form of regulation on what size dog you can have for apartment.
Well, I think we should just think twice from a pet owner. Sure, it's nice to have your beautiful big dog, but I don't think it's fair to the animal to have such a small space. And obviously this is not going to stop the process. There's lots of people that live in apartments and they have just large dogs. And it's not like we're just going to sell people only small dogs. But I just think, yes, if you're going to be that individual, maybe you do hire these services where that animal can get a lot of exercise, as much as they need for that size, and just be conscientious about it. All right, well, that concludes our episode 6. We want to thank you for your attention and share and or subscribe.
Later, dudes.